Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, tonight, I want to speak to you about stewardship. Oh my God, look, all the faces dropped. Everybody's face dropped. Why is that? Ah, oh my God. But the stewardship of treasurer is not my topic. Right? Tonight I want to speak to you about the stewardship of self, of yourself, of your being, of who you are. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. We were created, consecrated to be this person, the special, unique image that God created us to be. John was not consecrated or created to be anything but John. Mary was not consecrated, created to be anything but Mary. You, brothers and sisters, were not created or consecrated to be anything but you. Through all the billions of people in the world, there's only one you. Only one you. So today we hear this kind of expressed in Jeremiah, in Jeremiah's call. It's similar to the call of Moses, right? Similar to the call of Isaiah, those of you that are studying the Bible a little bit. Similar to the call of Ezekiel. Similar to the call of some of the judges in Israel, right? In the early days. And so this call comes, and Jeremiah expresses this call that God tells him, before I created you, before you were created in your mother's womb, I knew you. My master plan created a Jeremiah. My master plan created a Jeremiah, and only you, Jeremiah, can do what Jeremiah is supposed to do. And so we recognize that it's not just the biblical account isn't just an account of Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Isaiah or Moses. It's the same account for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us are in charge, have the stewardship of self. How are we to live out and be the person that God created us to be? You know, the U.S. Army, right? Steals this slogan. I think they stole it from God, actually, but U.S. Army has it, you know, join the Army and be all that you were, you know, all that you can be. Be all that you can be. And how do we continue? How do we go forward knowing that we are, in fact, doing and being all that we can be? You know, we kind of get moving through life in the various and the sundry effects of life begin to change us, right? We have this dialogue of nurture and nature, you know, how in our creation. But society, and especially the mass media of today, begins to tell us who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be thinner. We're supposed to be, you know, we're supposed to be more athletic. You know, we're supposed to be better looking. You know, we're supposed to be all these things, right? That society tells us, you know, if you were thinner, you'd be happier. If you eat our food, you'll be happier. If you drink our drink, you'll be happier, right? All these things that society is always telling us, modifying who we are supposed to be. It's a deluge, right? We're inundated every day. Who are we supposed to be? And so we're drawn back. We continually need to be drawn back to, well, who does God want me to be? Not who does General Mills or Ford Motor Company or General Motors want me to be. Who does God want me to be? And so this takes quite a little bit of work. And so as we begin to do that, we begin to be challenged. Well, okay, God, yeah, you're pretty straightforward with Jeremiah. Can I call you on my cell phone? What's your number? Because I want a direct line like Jeremiah apparently had. I want to call you up and say, you know, who am I supposed to be? Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. God only gives us stories of people that have these direct interactions so that we know there's this access point, right? And so we need to really take time. The stewardship of ourself needs to provide time for us to do that work on ourself. Treasure is important as far as an aspect of stewardship, but who we are, our gifts and our talents, are even more important. God, don't tell the rector I said that, right? Even more important about who we are and who we're going to be. Not only as individuals in the community of St. Benedict's, but as the community of St. Benedict's. Who are we going to be? Who are we called to be? And what is my individual part in that? What's my individual part in this larger community? Well, just like Jeremiah, why don't we do it, right? We have excuses. Oh, says Jeremiah, but I'm only a boy. How could I be doing the things, God, that you say you have for me to do? And it had nothing to do with age, but don't we all have excuses? Why can't we be all that we're supposed to be? Well, because, you know, supposed to go to work, got to go to school, take care of the kids. These are the things that are upon me. We always have excuses why we can't do or be all that God wants me to be. In the political race today, it seems like the same kind of struggle, doesn't it? What is it that God wants the leadership of this place? I won't go any farther than this. What is it that God wants the leadership of this place to be, this country to be? And you can see and you can watch it night after night after night be influenced by all kinds of other factors, both sides. I'm not talking Democratic or Republican, but all sides, there's all these other factors. What's the real essence of what that leadership should be? What are the real questions? We never get past them. We never get past all the news-making stories of the day. Right? What are the real essentials of the leadership? And what are the real essentials of leadership in a community like St. Benedict's? What are the real essentials? Often we hear, well, this group doesn't like that group doesn't like this group. You know, we begin talking about junk, right? We often begin talking about junk. If we work on ourselves, on our own stewardship, that's the best we can do. You know what? I probably can't change any one of you by a magical pass of the hand. You need to change. You need to be the person that God's called you to be. And so with all the billions, as I said, all the billions of people in the world, there's only one you. And so how could the media work? How could the media tell us who we're supposed to be if it was created after our creation? God already said who we're supposed to be. So Jeremiah, I'm only a boy. Jeremiah has his excuse. What's yours? What's yours? You don't have to tell me tonight. No test here. But what is it? Because we all have them, right? We absolutely all have them. And so your stewardship of time, your stewardship of your talents, necessitates you to do some digging and find out what those are. What would God have me do with the gifts that I have? What am I being called to do? And so Jeremiah's excuse is countered by God saying, don't worry, I'll be with you. Don't worry, I'm there. You know, what if we all decided we couldn't play golf, those of us that play a little bit of golf, I can't play golf because I can't play at par. Well, I wouldn't play much golf, or tennis, or basketball, or cards, or chess, or checkers, if I had to play those sports at the level of the professional. It becomes an excuse. Well, it's not that only excuse that I don't play basketball anymore, but that's an excuse, right? And what is your gift? What are they? And so Jeremiah is told by God, I'm with you. Go out and don't fear. Don't let all those excuses mount up and be the reason for not doing or being all that you can be. Don't let that happen to you. Now, there's not going to be any magic wand waved over you that you won't have those fears anymore. It's just that God tells you, fight through those fears. Be something more than those fears. Overcome those fears and continue to do the work that God has given you and called you to do. Do you think this happens to you? Do you think God has called you? Have you ever done something or maybe perhaps lost a job? Oh my God, I lost that job. Oh my God, I lost that job. Later to find out that the best thing for you was the fact that you changed jobs, you found a better one, one that you are much, much happier in. God is there. God is there. Perhaps you had a class change in school. Oh my gosh, I don't want to change that class. Later on found out the other class was better. Perhaps you know somebody that's been struggling with addiction. And you see that person struggle and fight. And you see them all the way down to the bottom. And they hit this rock bottom point. You might even be angry and say, where was God? Where was God? Brothers and sisters, God was there all along. And God is in the bottom of that pit. And God's calling that person to a new life, a different road taken, to a path to recovery. Sometimes we can only see these things in the aftermath. Sometimes we only know what God called us to do 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. Remember how excited you were when you were young? All the things laid before you? What happened to those things? Now, maybe many of you have followed that path and are perfectly in track. But maybe like me, it took a long time to reflect back and find out what that path was. That's God calling. God calls continuously, constantly, calling us to the perfection for which we were made, for the perfection for which we were created. And so don't lose sight. Dream. Dream backwards. Remember those things. Remember those aspects of life that were important to you 20 years ago, or in some of our cases, not so long ago. Younger people. Remember those dreams. Hold those dreams. And see where God might be managing God's own creation. You. You are God's own creation. So, what can we do? How do we begin this work? It's a part of our life. It's one of the most important aspects of our stewardship, is to begin this work. Begin this work on ourselves. And so there may be many ways. One I would suggest is follow your namesake, Benedict. Saint Benedict writes what he calls a simple little rule. I think it was a kind of a tongue-in-cheek statement in his first lines of the Rule of Saint Benedict, because it's 70 chapters, right? Simple little rule. But the essence of Benedict falls into kind of three categories. Actually, the vow the Benedictines take is a one vow covering three areas: stability of life, conversion of life, and discipline of life. And the stability of life refers to the setting, the living area. Where do we live? And sometimes we live in some rough areas, right? The workforce and the work field out there in the world is sometimes it's pretty tough. But where do we really live? In our home, in our homes, and in our communities of church. There's a safety valve. Here, I guarantee you, brothers and sisters, you can be exactly who you are called to be. No one here will say, nah, that's not acceptable. This church includes everybody the way they are. Stability of life. Find that place that's most stable. Find that setting. It might be a Benedictine community, I doubt it. It might be a place where you are safest to be who you really are, and you can give time and energy to that aspect. Find that safe place to be you. The next one is conversion of life. No matter what's going on in the world, that safe place will be a little bit different 10 years from now than it was today. Or it may be a lot different than it was 20 years ago today. So this conversion of life factor means that we have to recognize in our search for who we are that we're ever changing. We are changing. We're growing older. Perhaps we're growing wiser. Perhaps some of the woes and wear and tear of life have worn us down in certain areas. We have to recognize those conversions of our life, those changes. Benedict calls it conversatio, conversion of life. And the last is discipline. Being in that community, that stable community, requires discipline. There's probably lots of other more exciting places to be on a Saturday night, especially probably for some of our younger people. Are you kidding? We're going to go to church first? There's probably a lot better places to be. But we're disciplined to find that stable place, that place where we can be ourselves, that place that we can recognize the changes in our lives, the fact that we're getting older, we're different. Our work experience is different. Discipline calls us to hold to it, continually to look at it. The old monks in the monastery use as an example of this a hand mirror. Right? Hand mirror. Stability is when you look into the hand mirror, it's always you. Always you. Conversion of life is you look a little different today than when you were 18. And the discipline is to know yourself, you need to look in the mirror. Brothers and sisters, we all need to take a hard look at ourselves in the mirror. We need to find and look into that mirror and see the person that God created us to be. Because there is that person within each and every one of you. And so my prayer, brothers and sisters of St. Benedict's Church, is that in this coming season, there's an aspect of our own stewardship. In addition to thinking of the other elements of stewardship, we take seriously, the stewardship of ourself, discovering who we are and what God wants us to do with that. Amen.